This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Okay, so if you are listening to the podcast, we've already done two separate podcasts. We just recorded them about Olympic sports and women's basketball. You can go and catch those if you're watching on Facebook Live. Two of you are. We're going to transition.
Shout out to one of you, the other one. No shout out.
The one, or maybe, hopefully, one non-Tribune employee watching. But if you're watching, we're going to transition seamlessly into talk of the men's basketball team. Men's basketball team, huge win on Wednesday against Alabama. Absolutely had to have a win at this point in the season. They were kind of, after that Mississippi State game, I felt like this is a team that's burnt out. Is that your thought, too, after they lost that game?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought their confidence was down a little bit just because shots weren't falling. They didn't look into it defensively, and which is not what you expect from this team or from a Konzo Martin coach team. Not to say they were always terrific on defense because they haven't been great all year, but they were just at least locked in when they needed to be. And they just – Texas A&M, they just looked overpowered. Auburn, they just, I don't know, they just almost didn't look into it against Auburn. I think Auburn kind of just out-toughed them a little bit there. And Mississippi State, it was just like, what's going on? They couldn't make shots, and it just looked like their confidence was shot. And against Alabama, I mean, they look like one of the best teams in the SEC. I mean, Dave Matter from the Post Dispatch tweeted it out during the game, and it sticks with me. I think he said something like, if you are watching, this is the first time you were watching Missouri, you would think this was an elite offensive team. Which is true, but I also thought where they were best at that game was defensively. I mean, Alabama made six shots in the second half,
and they looked totally stunted.
Yes.
They couldn't do anything.
Nothing. And that Mizzou did that with foul trouble. I mean, Jordan Barnett went to the bench with three fouls in 15 seconds in the second half. Jonte picked up his third and fourth before the 3 minute mark. I don't know. It was a really impressive win for them. And the fact that not only were they able to fight the foul trouble with only eight scholarship players, but they were able to still make shots and then take whatever punch Alabama threw at them and throw one right back.
The other impressive thing about that, and you mentioned this too, that was at Alabama.
Yeah.
The only team to have won a game there earlier this year was
UCF.
UCF.
Yeah, and non-con. They have not dropped an SEC game at home.
They beat Auburn there.
Yeah.
They had some other.
To beat Oklahoma wins. There.
Oklahoma, the game before.
And,
the week, like 3 days before they played Mizzou.
And they swallowed up Trae Young in that game. And to think, I mean, there's no comparison in this. But Trae Young had 17 points, and he had six or seven assists, five turnovers. Again, no comparison. Jordan Geis didn't turn the ball over the whole game. Again, not comparing Jordan Geis to Trae Young, but
I believe just put Jordan Geist and Trae Young in the same sentence.
Right, exactly.
So that should get Missouri fans blood pumping.
But I mean, I was just, and Jordan Geis didn't start. That was the first SEC game he didn't start this year. But it was just nice to see his ball handling and their control of the ball. I think it still had like 16 or 17 turnovers. But when you're playing defense the way they were, it didn't really affect them. And Jordan Geist was pretty solid off the bench for them that night.
What did you think of their decision to start Cullen Van Leer over Jordan Geist? I was kind of surprised.
I was very surprised.
But Cullen Van Leer maybe had his best game of the season.
Yeah, he had that drive to the basket like nobody saw coming. I was like, what?
The left-handed the scoop
Euro
shot.
Step, yeah.
Yeah, that was impressive. That was a Cullen Van Leer that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, and Jordan Barnett, I talked to him on the phone after the game. He said he thought that the addition of Cullen he thought it helped their ball movement just because Cullen's a very smart passer, very high basketball IQ. So their ball movement was pretty incredible throughout the entire Alabama game. I think you saw guys get into the lane a little bit easier. I'm not sure. I think we'll see how it goes. I don't know if Kansas will start to go with it again against Kentucky. He might just because of Kentucky's length. But I don't know. Jordan Geist seemed pretty comfortable coming off the bench in that role. Jonte Porter as well. I think this is the first game Jonte Porter's looked comfortable offensively in a while.
Yeah, since
Georgia game.
Yeah.
Yeah. His shot, he was getting shots in rhythm, very easy. So I just thought maybe I imagine they'll probably stick with that against Kentucky, just because if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what that does for them going forward.
And it's hard to know this because, you know, you guys talked to Cullen Van Leer on Tuesday at Media Day, and he's a pretty reserved guy. He's not somebody that's going to, you know, light up the interview room. But I just wonder if putting him in the starting lineup puts him at ease. It's you know, it's confidence. Cullen, we trust you to go out there and contribute to the team.
Yeah.
You know, there was a portion of the season where he was playing, you know, 6 minutes a game, just coming off the bench when Missouri just needed somebody to step out there on the floor.
Yeah.
Wasn't hitting shots. And there's been times in his career, it's not been consistent, but there's been times in his career when he's been able to step up and hit threes and score. And the Cullen Van Leer that takes the ball to the basket, I mean, that's just, he was not that player last month. I feel like that wouldn't have even been a thought, you know, for him to attack the basket the way he did. So maybe getting the start is a good thing for his confidence. Yeah. I mean, because without Mizzou's guards, you know, we don't need to talk about, well, we will talk about it in a little bit, but about, you know, their depletion at point guard, you have to have somebody that can give you a little bit of something besides Cassius Roberts.
Right, and I think Kaja Martin noted two things that I'll bring up. The change in starting lineup, he said it was mainly for John Tate and Jordan Geist, because he said he thought they had kind of lost their edge, and he said, I guess he said they admitted that as well. I think he said he just wanted that to kind of get them in rhythm and get their edge going a little bit. Now I imagine he stays with that lineup again, regardless of where their edge is, considering it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Two, another reason why I think it works, and another reason why I think it works with Cullen, is the fact that Cassius is a much better ball handler, I think, than he was when he came in. I think Cassius looked a lot more comfortable at point guard against Alabama than he did against Utah or even against Iowa State.
I would agree with that.
I just think his confidence level is so high right now. I think you could put Cassius anywhere on the floor and he's going to have the mentality like, I can do whatever I want out here.
Put him at the five?
Okay. any perimeter position on the floor and be like, he's going to think he can do whatever he wants because I think
Love to see
Cassius at the five.
Jeremiah Tillman pick up two quick fouls and Konzar Martin.
Cassius plays on it.
Okay, you play defense on Yante Mate.
Exactly. No, but I really do. I think he's just gotten so much more confidence this year. I think he's without a doubt Missouri's best player. I think he's without a doubt Missouri's most important player. And I think he knows that. And I think with his confidence, I think he knows when he's confident, Mizzou plays pretty confident as well.
So, big game again this week. So Mizzou, with that win, they've kind of like crawled back into, I wouldn't say the conference race. They're not going to win the conference.
No.
But their tournament hopes never look lower than they did after the loss to Mississippi State.
Yeah, they fell out of Lenardi's projected bracket. They're still out on the most updated one. But I can't imagine that will be like that. I don't think that'll stay like that. But
yeah.
I think the Alabama one was huge for them.
Yeah, I do too. That puts them kind of
33 in the RPI.
Yeah, that was a huge boost to RPI getting a win like that on the road. So they've now kind of re-entered the conversation a little bit.
Yeah,
they play Kentucky on Saturday at Mizzou Arena. Mizzou has never beaten Kentucky ever. Mizzou will play a Kentucky team. This is the best Mizzou's been a long time, and I would say this is probably the most inconsistent. I mean, you could just call it the worst Kentucky team in a long time, too.
They almost lost to Vandy the other day.
Yeah, the worst team in the SEC.
No, that's not even close.
Can we talk about that game real quick?
Nuts game.
You asked me, did I see it, and I said no, and you go, that's why Vanderbilt's the worst team in the SEC.
Yeah, I remember texting you, and I go, I think I said Kentucky's going to lose to Vandy. The last thing Mizzou needs is an angry Cal Poly team. And then I think my next text to you goes, Vandy's the worst team in the SEC. It was like, I couldn't believe it. I don't know. Kentucky was down, I think, five or something. They cut it to two. Vandy missed a free throw. Vandy missed a free throw. And all Vandy needed to do was just, like, not foul. Because it was a miss a free throw, and Kentucky got the ball under their basket. So they had to go down the court in, like, 4 seconds and score. And the ball was like going out of bounds. So Kentucky guard goes and grabs it and throws it over his head to get it back towards like midcourt, hoping a Kentucky player would grab it and go. and a Kentucky player jumps for it, and a Vanderbilt player jumps and like jumps into him and fouls him like 60 feet away from the basket. The guy goes down, two free throws, overtime. I was just like, Vandy's trying to get the game away. So then Vandy like competes in overtime, and I want to say it's tied. And yeah, Vandy makes a basket, and it's very easy to man up when you make a basket. You just get back on defense and figure out who you got. Vandy makes a basket, and Kentucky passes the ball into Quade Green. He is getting pressured originally, and then he's like, oh, there's no pressure. And he's dribbling it up and sees there's nobody in front of him. So he just sprints down the floor, quick Euro step, bucket, game over. I was shocked. I've never seen a team just not man up with 15 seconds left in overtime after they made basket.
It's like, we made the basket. We're good.
Yeah, exactly.
We're good.
What happened?
Wait, we had to play defense?
Oh, I didn't know that. It was the most, like, it was nuts. It was just, if you ever need a reason to see why Vandy's the worst team in the SEC, I think that was bad.
Good news for Missouri fans. You will no longer get a really mad John Calipari Kentucky squad.
You won't.
Perhaps you'll get a complacent Kentucky squad. Or you'll get a Kentucky squad that is expecting Missouri to make the same critical errors.
That Vandy did.
Silly errors that Vanderbilt did. You will get Kevin Knox, who made the famous visit to Missouri in April, was a big part of the conversation. Is he the most important player on this team?
I think so. They have this guy out. What's his name? I have it written down. His last name's Alexander. He's a 6'6 guard. Crazy length, crazy athletic. He's averaging 15 points a game in SEC play. He actually is averaging more points than Kevin Knox in SEC play. He's shooting about 50% from the field. Doesn't shoot from deep much, but is an 80% free throw shooter as well. It's just what you get with Kentucky is a very athletic team that, similar to Alabama, the ways that they, with how athletic they are, they can do a lot of different things. But it's like you said, it's not one of the best Kentucky teams that we've seen. And I think this is a team that can get also very complacent and also jump shot friendly. Like, if they don't really like what they do, they'll chuck up a bunch of jump shots, especially Kevin Knox.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could play into what Mizzou wants. I think this is a winnable game for Mizzou. I thought coming into the week they had to win one of the two if they wanted to win the tournament, get into the tournament. I didn't think they had to win both. And now if you win both, that gives you a lot of leeway going
forward. More power to you.
Yeah, I think you're an NCAA tournament team again. But I think I do think it's a winnable game for them. I do.
More winnable than a lot of their most recent games against Kentucky, which have been, you go into it, not winnable.
Yeah, exactly.
Not winnable.
Yeah, I don't think Kentucky, like when Kentucky walks into Mizzou Arena, you're just like, oh, man, there's Kentucky.
Right.
I think you're like, oh, there's Kentucky.
Right. Last year, to Missouri's credit, it was, I believe, a one-point game at halftime.
Right.
Missouri led for a lot of the first half. John Calipari got booed. He was booed during his halftime interview.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And then he walked out when the interviewer asked him about the boos, and he just left.
Yeah.
And then after the game, he said he didn't hear. He didn't know what was going on. He was like, if they ever stop booing me, that's when I know I have to leave. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was interesting, and that was last year against a much better Kentucky team and a much worse Missouri team. So, a huge matchup for the Tigers.
Really quickly, before I know we're going to talk about Terrence Phillips.
Yeah.
But on top of this being a big, that's going to vibrate and just throw everything off. But on top of this being a very big weekend on the court, Mizzou has some pretty big recruits coming in this weekend.
Oh yeah.
Torrence Watson, obviously, he's coming. He told me that a few weeks ago, when before I did a story on him, that he was going to be here for this game. Also, 2018 point guard from the famous high school in Chicago, Simeon High School, will be here. Xavier Pinson, blown up the last few weeks. He's got picked up an offer from Wisconsin, Georgetown, SLU, Dayton, Mizzou, obviously. He's pretty good friends with Torrence Watson. He'll be here for the Kentucky game as well. And then I'm not sure if Mizzou hasn't offered this point guard yet. Trent Williams, he's a JUCO guy. He goes to Gillette College.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen, Cornell Mann has been out there, covering him or like recruiting him. He's a JUCO guy. That's another kind of point guard option for this group. But, Xavier Pinson's the big name, 'cause he's just kind of blown a very athletic. He's going to give you a true point guard, here, something Mizzou doesn't have right now.
Right.
A lot of people will be wishing he could just play on the court on Saturday, but very athletic guard, true point guard, has pretty good shooting touch, but I think he's going to – that will be, I guess, worked into his game a little bit more next year. But, yeah, so big weekend recruiting-wise as well for this group.
Have you heard about this guy from Oak Park in Kansas City?
Yeah, so
Ochai Agbaji.
Yeah, because – actually, so Jim Scanlon coaches Rockbridge.
Yes.
His son, Brennan, coaches Oak Park.
Yes.
I saw him playing in Norm Stewart Classic. That kid's a beast.
That's from my neck of the woods. Oak Park is from Northland, Kansas City, very close to where I grew up. Just received offers from Texas A&M, Wisconsin, Oregon, Nebraska, and now potentially Kansas.
Yeah,
Bill Self is going to go check him out later this month.
Who's Bill Self is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to imagine Kanzo's going out there.
Even if they
don't need the wing help, you get a talent like that.
I feel like if you're Kanzo, just like with East St. Louis, you just have to be there.
Yeah.
You just have to show up. People have to see you. People have to know that you're interested in recruiting in-state guys.
Even if
this kid is dead set on going to Kansas or wherever, Kanzo Martin should be there.
Yeah,
he should be in the gym. People should see him there. You know,
this is your state. Because
it's not just this guy – what, I already forgot his name. Agbaji.
It's weird. It's hard to pronounce. O-C-H-O-A. That's what it is.
Ochoa. It is. I'm trying to find it now. O-C-H-A-I. Ochai.
Ochai.
Agbaji.
Okay, let's go with that.
This is a story we're reading from the Kansas City Star. Sam McDowell did a story on him that ran yesterday. Kanzo Martin, it's not just about him.
Right.
It's the perception, hey, if I start playing really well, like if you have a guy that just explodes that is interested in Mizzou, they know, like they Kanzo will be interested, you know what I mean? Like I think it's important just for that reputation. If there's a guy who's good in state, even if he's not interested, we're gonna make an effort.
You gotta go
to recruit him.
I agree, he's definitely somebody who they should be reaching out to as well,
so that'll be interesting to watch that going forward.
Okay,
so now to the other big news item of the week.
Oh, really quick.
Yes.
Also, my recruiting, this was very, very quick. Tiger Campbell pretty much eliminated Mizzou from his recruiting.
Okay.
Which kind of everybody expected.
Right.
And on the front of Courtney Ramey, it's pretty much been no news. It's kind of still same news of he's in the list, in the running. Mizzou's in the running, but.
Leading scorer in Webster Groves history, is that right? Did that happen?
Assist.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw tweets about that this week.
But I don't know. I don't think he's coming to Mizzou.
Okay. So now.
Not Terrence Phillips.
To Terrence Phillips. So.
Somebody tweeted me today asking, I guess, what our percentage was that Terrence Phillips comes back this year or comes back to the team. Maybe not even this year, but back to the team.
Low.
Very, extremely low.
I would say very
low. I don't want to say zero because some miracle could happen, but it's probably like 0.1.
There's a lot that goes into that process that we don't see.
Yeah.
Depends a lot on Kanzo Martin. If he wants to let the process play out and make a determination after the results of the investigation,
right.
If he wants to, you know, if he decides before the results come out, I'm going to take, I'm going to be proactive and take proactive action on this. There's a lot of, it's hard to say, but it seems like it's very low. Just the nature of the allegations, and the number of people that are involved now, it's not just one that's involved with the investigation.
It's as many as four, could be more.
Right.
From what we know.
Right. Yes. The investigation, Title IX investigations, typically last, they're supposed to take less than 30 days, and unless it's an extreme case, no more than 60 days.
Right.
By 60 days, the basketball season will be over.
Right.
You would expect a resolution to the case, I guess, probably close to the end of February,
right.
If not sooner. The allegations are very serious. They are shocking. If you, like many people have come to see Terrence Phillips as a guy, a team leader, the face of the program.
Right.
He's been involved with his own nonprofit, SEC Men's Basketball Leadership Chairman. It's kind of a crazy dichotomy, but the allegations are very serious. What What other thoughts do you have on this process? I mean, it's been, Gonzo Martin said Tuesday,
yeah,
he found out that Terrence was under investigation Friday morning.
Right, before the team left for Mississippi.
Right.
It was Mississippi.
Yes, going to Mississippi State. Yeah. What other thoughts do you have on this process? It's hard to, I mean, you're presenting the facts. It's hard to really say more than what we can confirm.
Right. I guess the big thing is that if you're Gonzo Martin, you can't, I guess, go overboard, or you can't, I don't know even how I want to say this. You can't kick Terrence Phillips off the team without something to back it up. Regardless of if you think this is true or not, you need a reason to tell Terrence Phillips, hey, get out of here. You know what I mean? I don't think you can go and be like, these are these allegations that aren't proven. I don't think Terrence Phillips comes back. I do think Coach Gonzo Martin probably waits this Title IX investigation out and sees what happens, and then kind of goes from there. I think he probably could kick him off the team. I think that's probably, with what we've heard, was going to end up happening, or what should happen. I don't think he should be playing basketball, just with everything that we've heard and things of that nature. But,
and just to clarify, so what we've confirmed is that there are allegations of physical abuse. There are allegations of
sexual, I don't know how to best say it.
We wrote in our story, of a sexual nature.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Lewd comments to girls. Just behavior that, when you're talking about someone who's on your program, Terrence Phillips was the face of the program a few years ago, or last year.
Starting point guard for 2 years. Yeah.
You don't want that in your program. Those are some pretty serious allegations from what we've kind of listed off and what we've reported. So,
in the meantime, while he's under investigation, can't be around the team. He's not at practices. He's not traveling. He's not part of the game planning or anything like that. Still on scholarship. So I wouldn't be surprised if Gonzo Martin waits for a resolution from the investigation. It's hard to know, because there's no precedent, at least that I, you know, that I'm familiar with how Gonzo Martin has handled these types of cases. You know, if he's had to do it at Cal, if he's had to do it at Tennessee or Missouri State.
The thing
State.
Is, Gonzo Martin, it's not like Gonzo Martin is part of the investigation. Like, he's not, he can't see any of the information.
That's right.
Title IX investigations are completely private. You can't, like, you listen to this, you can't call in there and ask, we can't get it, Gonzo Martin can't get it. He's as, I guess, in tune with everything as we are. So I think when everything kind of comes out, then he'll see what's going on. But as of right now, he says he doesn't read the newspapers much. I imagine he's read a little bit about this, but he doesn't have any whatever the girls have given to Title IX. He doesn't have any of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Knowledge in any of it. So
we'll continue to update that as we confirm more information. It's hard to say much more than what we can confirm in a case like this. But I would be surprised if Terrence Phillips plays again this season for Missouri. There's a good possibility that the investigation will continue at least until the end of the season.
Correct.
And if you look at things from a completely sterile point of view, if you have no idea what the investigation is about, you're talking about a guy who would miss 3 weeks in February. Mm-hmm. Then come back to the team right before the tournament, trying to get assimilated with the squad. I think no matter what the situation is behind the scenes, getting a guy that's missed 3 weeks of the season back with 2 weeks left would be difficult.
So you're saying Michael Porter's not coming back? Is that what you're saying, Is Michael Porter Jr. not coming back?
Well, I never said that. He transitioning to Michael Porter. Michael Porter is not practicing.
No.
According to Gonzo Martin on Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, when we go to games, we're there early enough to see them shoot around a little bit. He's out there shooting around, but he's not jumping much. He's probably like half an inch off the ground.
His feet are barely leaving the floor.
Right. His toes are almost on the ground still. So
feels good enough to play at the rec, though.
Yeah, I guess. You said if you've been on Twitter and seen pictures, 3-on-3 at the rec.
Yeah,
feel bad for those players that are going again. My God,
even an injured Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, it was funny when Jonte at Tuesday's media press conference was saying somebody asked him about Michael, and he goes, "Well, he still doesn't miss, so
he doesn't need legs.
No.
Just spot him up in the corner,
exactly.
Play defense 4-on-5."
Yep.
yeah, update that as we get more information too. But I would say that Michael Porter will not play until at least he has a week of practice under his belt.
Yeah, so he won't play tomorrow, Saturday.
Right. I would be shocked.
I would be too. We could be wrong.
Stunned.
He could just show up and ball. Drop 30 ball, 3 points.
Kevin Knox, I'm coming for you. Exactly. I wouldn't miss this matchup for the world.
Exactly.
Okay, I think that'll do it for us today. Catch our other two podcasts that we recorded earlier about Olympic sports and women's basketball. I'll save the whole outro. Follow us on Twitter, read our work in the paper, catch us next week. We'll talk a lot about Kentucky women's basketball and Olympic sports again soon.
And subscribe to Mizzou's Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.